Good morning, church. Shakespeare, in his play Macbeth, spoke about life. And in particular, he addressed the subject of death following a life lived. And he had some rather gloom and doom things to say about life. He said that life is a shadow, a poor player. Said that life is that thing that frenetically runs about on stage for its hour and then is heard from no more. He would conclude that particular section in Act 5 of Macbeth by saying that it is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. If you ever stop and analyze what Shakespeare is saying there, you realize it's a very grim outlook of the life that we live here on earth. Carl Jung, he had this to say about life. He said that life is the ultimate neurosis that each of us battle, and that emptiness is its final conclusion. Some pretty grim words, aren't they? Those are some fairly depressing thoughts to begin our lesson this morning. If you've been attending with us on Wednesday night, and I pray that if you're not, you will. We do meet on Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock. We have been looking at a particular book of the Bible for the past 8 months. We've been examining the amazing book of Ecclesiastes. Our study of the book of Ecclesiastes is going to come to its conclusion this coming Wednesday evening. And it's quite humorous to me, at least. It's a preacher's humor, so it means it's not funny to anyone who's not a preacher. But it's humorous to me that we're going to be concluding our study of this Wednesday of the book of Ecclesiastes, and that today, as we are driving along in that biblical vehicle that we've been traveling in for quite some time now, as we're looking at the 66 themes of the books of the Bible, we're today going to pull off at the exit of Ecclesiastes. I've mentioned to the good folks that have been coming on Wednesday nights, I've told you over and over again the introduction, the lead-in to the book of Ecclesiastes. I've told you that it was written by Solomon, titles himself the preacher. He is the son of David, king of Israel. Wisest man who ever lived, wealthy beyond measure, powerful, well-known throughout the world. But what Solomon provides us throughout the book of Ecclesiastes is a glimpse behind the curtain. What Solomon offers us in the book of Ecclesiastes is the results of experiments conducted, wisdom gained, knowledge hard won. Over and over again, he shows us what man gains at all the toil at which he toils at under the sun. His report, that it is vanity. It is vain. It is empty. The word that we have used oftentimes on Wednesday nights is, it is worthless. As I have done Wednesday night after Wednesday night, I will point out, Solomon does not degrade the value of life nor the blessing which God has given us. Life is a blessing, one that we should cherish and enjoy each and every day that we've got it. However, if it supersedes your relationship with God, then it is vanity. It is vain. As we pull off the interstate that we've been traveling and we pull onto this exit, we notice the signpost. We notice that the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes is, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. This morning, I want us to examine the book of Ecclesiastes. I want us to see what it is that Solomon is saying. I want us to try to grasp and understand what it is that he in his morose way is saying to us. I want us to dig through and paw our way through some of the more quote-unquote depressing parts of this. And I want you to see it not for some depressing pull you down, drag you down, but I want you to see that what it is it's all about getting your priorities straight. One of the greatest dangers that we as the church face today is priorities. So many believe that this is important, and this is important, And this is important. And this is important. Folks, let me say at the very beginning of this lesson, if anything in your life is more important to you than your relationship with God, then it is vain. It is vain. It is hollow. It is empty. If anything supersedes your relationship with God, it needs to be re-examined in your life today. I want us to take a moment today. Let's take a moment. Let's examine two different ideas that Solomon gives to us. I want us to see what it is that he has to say to us in light of this wonderful work that he has given us in the book of Ecclesiastes. First of all, let's understand that it's all meaningless. Let's understand, first of all, it's all meaningless. There was a movie that came out back in 1979. The movie was entitled Meatballs. I don't know how many of you have seen it. Bill Murray was in it. If you've seen it, some of you that are laughing, I know you've seen it then. It's really the account of two camps. You got the camp over here with what we'll call the don't-haves. These are the lesser-thans. Can I just say it, folks? All right, you got the nerd camp over here, okay? And over here, you've got Camp Mohawk. This is the one that's real cool. This is where all the athletes go, the rich kids go. This is where the kids who are privileged and beyond all imaginings, that's where they go. And every year, these two camps compete. And every year, the big camp does what? Crushes the little camp. Well, in this particular movie, of course, the idea is that the little guy will rise up. David will take up his slingshot and his five stones, and he'll step onto the battlefield with Goliath, and he'll take him down with a single shot. Well, during one of the more down moments in the movie, the kids over here at the lesser camp, they're sitting around and they're kind of beating themselves up because they realize another year has come and another beating is at the door. And so Bill Murray begins to talk to them. And what he does is he practices a little bit of reverse psychology. He says, "We're going to go out there and they're going to dominate us. And it just doesn't matter." He says, "At the end of it all, even though we may win, we'll still lose because all of the girls from that world out there, they will want to date them because they're richer and better looking than all of us. And it just doesn't matter." As I was thinking about this lesson today, I kept thinking about that line in that movie. It just doesn't matter. How many things in your life do you think hold great value and importance? Oh, we could begin listing them immediately, couldn't we? Our families, certainly. Our marriages. Our children. In some cases, our parents, depending on how mad we are at them that day. And I guess the same thing could be said of our kids, too. What about our jobs? What about our money? What about our homes? What about all of those things that we have in life? The knowledge that we have accumulated over time. Can I tell you what Solomon says about that if it supersedes your relationship with God? He says it is vain. You know what he's saying? It is meaningless. What he is saying is it just doesn't matter. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. This will be above me on the screen, so if you don't have your Bibles, please follow along on the screen. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, I want to set the scene for you. Remember who we said wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? It is Solomon. Solomon, the same Solomon who back in 1 Kings chapter 3 was offered a blank check by God. God appears to him in a vision and says, "What is it that you want? What is it that you need?" And Solomon, in all of his wisdom, he says, "Lord, I am but a small child, incapable of knowing if I'm going out or coming in. What I want is the ability to discern good from evil." What he was asking for is not riches, not wealth, not fame. He wants wisdom. So this is a man who, when presented with that blank check from the Lord, said, "God, give me wisdom." So this is a guy who is writing to us, he understands the value of wisdom. But I want you to see what he is saying there about wisdom in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Wisdom, if ill properly gained, wisdom, if improperly viewed, wisdom, if improperly prioritized in your life, it is vain. Empty, worthless, meaningless. Flip over to chapter 2. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse number 1. Here we find where Solomon is moving on to his next subject. And it's one that we can all really kind of sink our teeth into. It's pleasure. Oh, we like to have fun in this world, don't we? We've got whole things that are designed around having fun, enjoying ourselves, different pursuits. We've got video games. We've got books, TVs, phones. We've got the internet. We've got all of these different things that we use to amuse ourselves and find great pleasure in life with. Well, certainly Solomon would take no issue or umbrage with pleasure, would he? Oh, but yes, he would. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1, he makes it clear to us that that pleasure that we seek above all else, that pleasure that we thrive on, that pleasure that we'll give anything in order to have, it is vain. What about work? What about work? Surely Solomon wouldn't have an issue with work. I mean, doesn't the Bible say, after all, that if a man won't work, a man shall not what? Eat. Certainly, Solomon would not devalue the value. He would not devalue the blessing that is work or toil, would he? What about Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 10? There he makes it clear to us that work, that toil, it's vain. It's empty. It's hollow. It's meaningless. Well, what about wealth? Now, certainly this guy who had been given, though he asked for wisdom, the Lord, so impressed with what he asked for, I love what the Lord did there in 1 Kings chapter 3. The Lord said, because you have asked that, I'm going to give you wealth. We were examining the book of Ecclesiastes this past Wednesday night, and we were startled by the amount of wealth that Solomon actually had. So surely this guy is not going to say that wealth is vain, is hollow, is empty, is meaningless. Surely he won't. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, I think Solomon makes a fantastic point. Those that seek after money, those that seek after wealth, guess what? In the context of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, what he points out to you is you're never going to have enough to make you happy. You're never going to have enough that you say, I don't want any more. Several months ago, as we were talking about the book of Ecclesiastes, we mentioned a gentleman by the name of Howard Hughes. It's fascinating to go back and to look at his life. Most folks agree today that Howard Hughes actually enjoyed the pursuit of money more than the actuality of having money. He was happier when he didn't have it but was going after it than when he got it and then couldn't get enough of it. Folks, that's what money does to us. Why? Because it's hollow. It's empty. It's meaningless when put ahead of certain other things. What Solomon is pointing out to us over and over again is whether you're talking about wealth, whether you're talking about work, whether you're talking about pleasure, whether you're talking about wisdom, it's all meaningless. Which brings us to our second point this morning. It's all meaningless, folks, if it supersedes your relationship with God. I told you at the very beginning of this lesson, folks, it's all about priorities. Is wisdom a good thing to have? Absolutely. We want heavenly wisdom. We want to be able to know more about Scripture, know more about the Bible, know more about what God wants for us and from us in our lives. We want to know more about this world in which we live. We go to school to learn. We go to college to learn more. We continue to grow in our knowledge of this world and all that it has to entail. We love that. That's great. Wisdom is not a bad thing. Pleasure, if done properly and without sin, is not a bad thing. There is nothing wrong with occasionally playing video games. There is nothing wrong, and by the way, I said occasionally there, Amanda, so don't get on to Kyle too much. There is nothing wrong with occasionally enjoying a vacation. There is nothing wrong with enjoying to go running or playing an instrument. There's nothing wrong with pleasurable activities. There's nothing wrong with work. There's nothing wrong with putting in a day's labor and earning an honest wage. Can we say this? Folks, there's nothing wrong with money, with wealth, if it is in its proper place. I want to share with you a verse. In order to understand this Old Testament concept, we need to see a New Testament verse. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21. Of course, in Matthew chapter 6, we find Christ in the middle of His Sermon on the Mount. He has been giving us just concept after concept and idea after idea. They're just pouring forth from Him. And I would love to have been there on that hillside that day as He was giving this out to them and heard some of the comments that were doubtless being made around Him. But here He is. He brings forth this idea that where your treasure is, there your heart will what? Be also. Let's pause. Folks, if your wisdom is your treasure, there's where your heart is. If pleasure is your treasure, there's your heart. If work is your treasure, then there's your heart. If wealth and money are your treasure, then there is your heart. Here's the problem with this. We are told throughout the Bible that our heart belongs or should belong to God. So folks, if we're giving our heart to wisdom, to pleasure, to work, to wealth, then we're telling God, God, it's not all yours. Some of it is mine, Lord. Which goes expressly against what Jesus said when asked, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. How can we change then? When do we change? How do we change? If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll be concluding our lesson over in that final chapter. I've suggested to the folks on Wednesday nights that in the book of Ecclesiastes, you've got this long lead up to a final great conclusion. We'll get to the great conclusion here in just a moment, but I want you to see there's a subtle shift that takes place beginning in chapter 12, verse 1. We begin to see when and where real change is made if we are to live a life that has meaning, that has real purpose, that follows the godly principles that He has given to us in His Word. We're told in verse 1 that we should not despise the Creator in the days of our what? Of our youth. Young people, it starts today. Prioritize your life in the right way. Stop making it about you. Stop making it about your pleasure. Stop making it about what you want, what you think. Stop making it about your friends. Stop making it about Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and all the rest of them. Stop making it about this world. Right now, today, you say, yeah, but I've got to sow wild oats. Throw your bag of oats away. Throw your bag of oats away. Can I tell you what those oats are? Bad for you. Can I tell you what those oats will get you? Nothing. Well, actually, that's not true. They will get you something. In trouble. That's what that bag of oats is going to do for you. Throw your oats away. Don't say to yourself, I'm going to live how I want to live now, and one day, I'll get right with God. Prioritize your life today that you're going to live for God in every way and in every aspect. What about those of us that are here that have become advanced in years? Those of us that perhaps did despise our Creator in the days of our youth. I think Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 speak to you as well. You may say, well, Rusty, listen, to be honest with you, I didn't prioritize my life the way I should. I despised my Creator in the days of my youth. I had that bag of oats, and Rusty, I didn't just use my bag of oats. I actually borrowed other people's oats. And Rusty, I was sowing. I had a big old field out there. Wild oats everywhere. I enjoyed myself, but Rusty, I am realizing today that I have lived a life that is just hollow. It's empty. It's been without meaning and purpose. Then can I point out verses 6 and 7 to you? Before that silver cord is snapped, that golden bowl is broken, before that pitcher is shattered at the fountain, that wheel broken at the cistern, notice this next part. Notice that it speaks of before that dust returns to where it was, and before that spirit returns where? To God. Folks, here's the point. You've still got time. Now, are you going to have to make some changes? Yes. But you've still got time. If you're here and you're not dust, you've got time. If you're here and your spirit is still in you, you've got time. But I tell you this, time's running out. I'm going to tell you what it tells us down in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Solomon allows us there to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the accumulation of all of his years of wisdom, all of his years of living. This is the accumulation of things that he has done, things that he has experienced, things that he has bore eyewitness to. The book of Ecclesiastes was not written by a young man. The book of Ecclesiastes was written by a man advanced in years who had seen a lot, done a lot, and if we could just be so honest this morning, regretted a lot. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. But he goes on to tell you, he gives you a cautionary warning. Because you may not fear God today. You may say, well, I love God. I don't fear Him really. You better fear Him. I keep some of His commandments, but I mean, it's really, Rusty, that's not what it's about anymore. You better keep them. Because what the Bible makes clear to us is that God will make every secret thing known. Now check that last part though. What Michael read for us at the beginning of this lesson, whether good or evil. You say, well, I want Him to know the good. That's fine, He'll know the evil as well. I want Him to know the times that I didn't put work ahead of Him. The times I didn't put wealth ahead of Him. I want Him to know the times that I said, Lord, I'm going to forego pleasure to serve You. Lord, I'm going to give up gaining a little wisdom to serve You. I want Him to know those times. And that's fine. But understand this. He's also going to know all of the times that you said, wisdom or God? Wisdom or God? Wisdom. Pleasure or God? Pleasure or God? Pleasure. Work or God? Work or God? Work. Wealth or God? Wealth or God? Wealth. Folks, He's going to know all of those times. As we conclude this morning, I want to encourage you to fear God and keep His commandments. As we conclude here this morning, I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. Have you been living an empty life? A life whose priorities are mixed up? A life that has not been devoted to following God? A life that has been devoted to a lot of things? God may be even on your priority list, but He's not number one. Then I'm going to suggest to you, today's the day to make a change. If we can assist you in any way in finding that life filled with true meaning, true purpose, we want to encourage and invite. Won't you come as together we stand and sing this song of invitation?